This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Now on Joy 94.9, this is The Glow Show with your host, Victoria Police LGBTI Liaison Officer Gabrielle Tyack, Joy's own Will Lanting, with a range of Victoria Police staff and Joy volunteers coming together to inform and support our diverse LGBTI communities. Here is The Glow Show on Joy.
And yes, you are on Joy 94.9. This is The Glow Show. I'm Will and always joined by Gabby. How are you going, Gabby?
I've just survived the heat.
The heat? That's lovely.
I don't know how I got through it.
You don't know how?
I'm over it.
I love the heat.
Not for me.
It's the last blast of summer, do you think?
I hope so. But speaking of heat.
Yes.
And weather and all these horrible things. It's funny you should mention that, Will.
You mentioned it.
I should mention it. Because in the studio today, we have our ex-Deputy Commissioner, Andrew Chris, from Victoria Police. He is now with the Emergency Management Commissioner. So he's got a different role, but he's still very high up in the organisation. He's the head of the organisation. He's joining us. Welcome.
Welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Will.
Yeah. Thank you. And we are also joined by...
Who's with us?
The captain of Wong Dong Fire Brigade, Joran Miller. Joran, welcome.
G'day, Will. How are you? G'day, Gabby.
Thank you. Good, good.
Now, welcome.
Now, first, Andrew, I always like to ask people, well, obviously, how did you come into the emergency management services? How did you find yourself there?
Emergency Management Commissioner. So, as Gabby mentioned, I had the pleasure of knowing and working with Gabby for quite a period of time. I did nearly 40 years with VicPol.
You look so young.
Gabby's not even 40, so we haven't worked that long. But I was made an offer I couldn't refuse, I guess, that I certainly wasn't looking at leaving Victoria Police. It's an organisation very close to my heart. I love it. But again, I sort of thought about this opportunity, and it was really a values piece for me in that it was still about public service and about community safety. It was a new challenge, so I thought, what the heck, I'll give it a go.
Excellent. Now, Joran, how did you find yourself in the CFA?
A bit of an interesting way. I grew up, my father was always in the CFA. That's just the country way of doing things. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, she's a born and bred Essendon girl, so we moved out into the country. And, for me, it was a way of putting back into the community. Community country towns are basically run on volunteers. And also, it was a great way of getting to meet some new people. So we'd never, ever been to Wandong prior to buying a house there. We joined up, and from there sort of both family really loved it, really enjoyed it, and sort of worked my way through the ranks and ended up being captain.
Now, we've had a bit of a warm one this weekend, Andrew.
Yeah.
But how's the fire season been this year generally?
Overall, we've been fairly busy. There's been more than 2,500 grass, bush and scrub fires since the 1st of December. And again, many people would not realise there's that many fires, but that's a credit to Joran and many, many volunteers that work across the state, the fact that they ran up these fires so quickly. But we've also had some fairly significant fires. So mainly down in Gippsland, which was no surprise to us because that's where it was predicted because of how dry it's been down there for the last couple of years. It was going to be a high risk area for us. So we've still got a going fire at Timbara, which is far east Gippsland. It's burned out about 21,000 hectares. We've also had the Thompson Dam fire, so part of Melbourne's water catchment area. So again, the 7,000 or 8,000 hectare fire. That's contained at the moment. And the Walhalla fire, which had the potential to significantly impact on that particular minute. It did impact, but it could have been worse. So again, that one for us is contained at the moment. So there's pretty significant fires that we've had that have, burnt considerable amount of hectares across the state.
And great work by the volunteers, because we need the volunteers.
We definitely do, yeah.
Yeah, I must admit, for us, it's been an interesting season. For our particular area, we've actually been abnormally quiet. But that there doesn't
touch
mean
wood.
That touch wood. But we've been out and about supporting a lot of other areas, a lot of other brigades, and that's the beauty of the CFA is that if there's a big fire, we all jump in. Travel where we need to travel. So, we've been all over the place.
You're a captain of Wandong, so I assume you have an area that you look after. But if it gets more intense in other areas, you will move your unit on request or...
Yeah, 100%. So, and it's a two-way street.
Yep.
So, depending on the size of the fire, they will start pulling resources from our surrounding areas and just trying to throw as much as we can to try and get the fire out, get it contained. And likewise, if we have a large fire in our area, and the classic example of that would have been Black Saturday, where there were trucks coming from everywhere. So, my little area that Wandong looks after, we've been reasonably quiet, touch wood, but definitely been out and about a lot this season.
With the number of fires that we've had, I mean, with the dry weather and the lack of rain, it's a given that we're going to have them. But how much of that is by accidents, people doing some silly things, or maybe some fire bugs?
No, it's probably, it's all of the above. So interestingly, we always have storms and we always have a lot of lightning in January. But the Bureau have been saying that we've had significantly more lightning. And when you've got really, really dry conditions, lightning will start fires. And we saw, I talked about the Thompson catchment fire. That particular night, we could see this storm moving across the state to the east, and there was just lightning and fires starting all the way to the border.
Wow.
So that's been a significant cause of fires. And again, some people that have been irresponsible in terms of campfires, not putting out campfires. So that's also created quite a few issues for us. And I know of at least two people have been arrested in relation to arson. So there are some deliberately lit fires. But, Mother Nature sort of starts them and in a lot of cases also stops them.
So what should people do if they're aware of lightning strikes that have started fires? Should they try to put them out? Should they ring 000 straight away?
Yes, that's exactly what we ask members of the community to do, is actually if they see smoke, it's just to report it, call 000, just report it, do what they can. Landowners, farmers, that sort of thing. And again, most people in the country sort of are attuned to doing that sort of thing, I'd imagine.
And the big thing we say, agree 100%, is that it's if you see smoke, call 000. Volunteers, whether they're volunteers, career staff, or your Forest Fire Management Victoria that look after the state forests and all that, nobody minds going out to a false alarm. We'd much rather go to a false alarm than have somebody go, I'm imagining things, or I don't want to get the volunteers out of bed or whatever else, and then it gets bigger. So if anybody sees anything, that's the key, is just to call it in. We can go out, we can check it out, and then we can either put the fire out if we need to, or we just go, we've escaped again, there's no fire, and we just go back home and go back to bed.
And happy days. Now, Andrew and Yoren, I'm going to ask you about the Black Saturday experiences. Mm. So what was your experience or involvement on that day?
Look, I'll be very honest here. I actually wasn't even in the state. I wasn't in the country. I was in England. I had a family reason to be there with my mother. However, at that time, I was a divisional superintendent, so a police superintendent working out at Knox. So I had responsibility for the Dandongs, the Yarra Valley, which was significantly impacted on that particular day. I was back 2 days later, and I ended up and the regions in those days were somewhat different, and so it was the old Region 4. So it actually took in Kinglake, Marysville, so some of the most significantly impacted parts of the state. And I came back and I ran sort of our regional operations centre, and I'm just heavily involved after that. But on the day, I wasn't here.
Yoren,
I guess you're
on the ground.
We're on the ground. So the Kilmore East fire probably started maybe less than 10 kilometres away from the Wandong township. So because the weather conditions of the day. We got responded on the initial call. So when the fire tower called it in, we were on the initial call response. We had both of our trucks out at the fire. So we had our main truck, which my wife was actually the crew leader on. And then because we tried to split family members where possible. So I was actually on our secondary vehicle, which was like an ultralight, sort of a Land Cruiser with a water tank on the back. So I was on there as the driver and crew leader with one other crew member. So, it was a pretty full-on day. It was a long day. And we basically sort of chased it until it actually hit Wandong. Tried to save what we could and save the school, and we did a lot of stuff around town. And then from there, being a local brigade that was impacted, we actually didn't spend any time in the other areas, but we primarily looked after our own area. And we probably for the 2 weeks afterwards, we had between 10-20 trucks working around the Wandong township. So it was pretty hard. There was one stage there where myself and my offsider went in to rescue a bulldozer driver, and that there was getting a bit hairy. So for a while there, they thought they'd lost us, and my wife was a little bit concerned, obviously, and whatnot. But I think as far as how we all operated, it was one of those times where all the people on the ground, we just did what we had to do, and under the conditions, I think we did a pretty good job. So, but it was definitely not something you want to experience again.
No, definitely not. I mean, it was so unexpected. I don't think we've had an incident like that for many, many years. Maybe 1960s was the one before that in Geelong.
Well, we had Ash Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday
was 83.
All right,
yeah. I remember that well too.
Yeah, I remember.
I mean, it doesn't happen very often, thank goodness. But we just get better and better prepared. Mm. We've got a lot more people working to try and prevent the fires, move them. Control them.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Yoren's the firefighter, I'm not, but we will never put out a fire like that. You just can't do it. Mm. So what's then critical is it's about getting information, getting warnings to community, and that's where we've come such a long way since 2009. Back in those days, it was about, you know, cutting and pasting some text and uploading that onto a website, whereas now we can get warnings out within 30 seconds, whether that's to apps, to websites, social media more broadly. So it's all about getting that information out as quickly as we can.
And that was a direct result. That was the learning from that incident.
One of the major learnings. And that's really, you know, what we focus on now is, you know, once we see something that's potentially going to impact on the community, we've got to get information out. We've got to warn them.
And that there's a big thing. Even as a volunteer, I often operate in an incident controller sort of role. And that there's at the forefront of everything we do is that while I'm trying to look after how do we actually combat this fire and tactics and all that sort of hands-on the ground stuff, there's also that major importance of keeping the community informed and warning people of any impending danger that they're going to have. So and as Andrew mentioned, like pre-Black Saturday to post-Black Saturday, the changes in those sort of systems have been phenomenal. You can't compare pre and post.
Sounds like fires is always going to be there. It's always going to be a risk. But managing it and getting the information out there is something that we've certainly learned. It's fascinating, yeah.
And sorry, Will. So we, you know, I keep talking about the Vic Emergency app. You know, there's other ways of accessing information, but more than 1.2 million people have downloaded the app. You know, I'm constantly looking at it. So if anyone hasn't got it, I suggest that you do, because you might not think it where you're living, but if you're planning on driving into regional Victoria, then it's a great way of accessing information. It'll help you make good decisions.
Excellent stuff. You're listening to Andrew Crisp, Emergency Management Commissioner. And Yoren, who's the captain of the Wandong Fire Brigade. You're listening to The Glow Show on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to The Glow Show on Joy. Back soon.
Listen to us right around the nation. Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. This is The Glow Show on Joy.
And we're back. You're with The Glow Show, Gabby and Will, and we're speaking to the Emergency Management Commissioner, Andrew Crisp. You might recognise his voice because he has been a regular on Joy in his previous role, and also Captain of Wandong Fire Brigade, Yoren Miller.
Now, one of the things I also like to talk about is if we want to get involved in the CFA as a volunteer. So what's the process to do that, and what sort of things can we expect to, yeah, to do?
I can see a lot of people looking at me.
That's right.
It's pretty easy. So I think first and foremost, make contact with your local brigade. Mm-hmm. Brief overview, there are probably two main streams you can go down. There would be the operational firefighter, so they're the people that are on the back of the truck, putting out fires, turning out to incidents or whatnot. There's also a lot of roles, particularly in the volunteer space, for brigade members that don't want to be operational, so sort of more support roles. And so they can be directly supporting the brigade, and that might be right through to as a secretary or a treasurer. We do a lot in the space of community education and community safety, so we've got people that are involved in that. Health and safety, right through to, you know, simple things like grounds maintenance and whatnot. You can also look sort of outside of the brigade and start getting involved in a regional or a district level, and that there can still be involved in incident management, in the incident control centres, and you can, yeah, there's all the whole lot of training and qualifications you can get those roles. But you don't necessarily have to be out there on the fire ground chewing smoke or waking up at 3 a.m. or whatever else. So
if I'm somebody who's maybe a little bit fear of fire but would like to support my community or would like to support the CFA, there are many roles you can get involved in straight away. You don't have to like earn your stripes being on a fire truck.
100%. You don't need to be on a fire truck.
Yep.
And the main thing is that we... If we have anybody that comes up and joins, we're more than happy. Like, we'll accept anybody because there is always a role for anybody in a brigade.
And we're coming to the end of summer, but however, apparently that's not going to be the end of the heat and the dry weather. Mm. So people might be thinking, oh, it's the end of summer. We can start relaxing. We can start having bonfires and burning wood on our property. Yeah. That's not really the case, is it?
No, not at all. And, we've still got a bit of warm weather to go, and then the Bureau puts out sort of a seasonal or updates the seasonal outlook. So even into autumn, they're saying it's going to be drier and warmer than normal. So yeah, we just can't get complacent around this. And you know, we're seeing the same thing in the Northern Hemisphere with the fires they had, particularly in California. You know, we used to talk about summer or a fire season. You know, I came into this role August the 13th last year. We already had a fire at that stage at Cape Conran. Last year, March the 17th, was the Southwest fires. So there wasn't too much of a gap between March and August when it comes to fires. So people, you know, we can't become complacent. We've got to stay focused around fire. But fire's not a bad thing. You know, we live in Victoria. There's some, there will be fire. So it's about how you live with... There's good fire. There's planned burning, which is good fire. How you use it to control the environment, to keep communities safe. The reality is there will always be fires, but it's just about how we live with fire.
Okay, so trying to make sure your own property is safe, you probably should engage with your local CFA because they do information sessions about what you need to do to keep your property safe.
Yep, 100%. So we do a lot of stuff pre-season in regards to our community engagement and information sessions and whatever else. So there's a wealth of information available on the CFA website. In regards to how to keep your property safe and what you... The other one as well is that the can I and can't I. So what you can and can't do during the fire danger period. And that talks about whether you can have, you know, a campfire versus a bonfire, whatever else. But definitely touch base with a local fire brigade. They can give a wealth of advice. I know for me personally, in the brigade and area I look after... I often get a lot of phone calls saying, oh, I want to do this, or can I help, you know, can the fire brigade help me out here? So we've actually conducted a lot of burn-offs for residents that might be elderly or might not be quite as able-bodied to be able to look after them themselves. So we'll use that as a training scenario, and we'll go out there and give an opportunity for members to use drip torches and do some of our hose laying practice. So we do all that sort of stuff. And the other one as well is... most brigades nowadays have got a Facebook page. So even if they make contact with the brigade via the Facebook page, we can send them links on information or, you know, pass on details for contact numbers that might be able to help them outside of the local brigade.
Excellent. Andrew, you're Emergency Management Commissioner, so fire is just one part. One part. So what's some of the other parts, just briefly?
So if we want to talk about summer, we've tragically seen 23 drowning deaths since the 1st of December.
Is that up or down?
It is up on the five-year average, so there has been a spike around that. It's really hard to put your finger on it because it's probably almost half and half coastal to inland waterways. And then in inland waterways, we've had waterfalls, we've had lakes, we've had dams. Is there any clear trend around that? Probably not so, but we've pulled together a group of Lifesaving Victoria, you know, the Victorian Institute of Forensic Management, and Parks Vic and others. What more can we do? Is it in some of our messaging? Is it some of our infrastructure? So we're very, very focused around this. The drowning deaths have been forefront.
So what is your key safety message about using different kinds of waterways?
It well and truly is, and it's the same old message. If you go on the beach, go to a patrol beach and swim between the flags. Our surf lifesavers are busy enough there. Like they've conducted, you know, literally hundreds of rescues. So that is so important. You know, if you can't park near a patrol beach and you've got to park some distance away, make the effort to walk back to the patrol beach. Just don't go in at that particular point that's not patrolled. Inland waterways, again, a little bit more difficult, but again, we'd suggest that you swim where there's other people swimming. If there's locals, ask them. You know, local knowledge is invaluable around this. So you just be so cautious of the environment in which you're swimming or you're engaging in some sort of water activity.
Yeah, I guess you got to respect water because
definitely.
As a teenager, I was a very strong swimmer and I remember getting stuck in a rip at a beach and I had no idea what to do and managed to get myself almost back in, whereas my friend was getting swept out. And luckily there were some local surfers who came out to rescue us. But if they weren't there, I don't know what would have happened. Yeah. I think maybe I would have gotten back, but I'm not sure about my friend.
Mm.
So it's whether you're a strong swimmer or not, you've really got to obey where the flags are and don't swim outside them.
No, that's exactly right. You can't go too far wrong if you do that.
Now, we are an LGBTI radio station, so clearly volunteers with the CFA and obviously within your workplace you have an excellent LGBTI acceptance policy.
Yeah, look, definitely, and this is where, you know, I'm not just talking about CFA, I'm talking about all the organisations across our, what we term as our sector.
Yep.
And again, it's about what we're doing and what more we can be doing. And I guess this is where, you know, I'm very much for listening and learning from the LGBTI communities. Pride March, you know, with Victoria Police, been involved in many Pride Marches, which I love. You know, it's one of my favourite events of the year. Unfortunately, this year I couldn't march because it was a spike day for us in terms of fire risk.
It was hot.
Yeah, so myself and the Chief Commissioner and the Minister for Emergency Services and Police, we're actually in the State Control Centre, but we did a little video that we put on social media just to show we were connected. Also, as part of Midsummer Festival itself, the Emergency Services had a stall. It's the first time they've come together like that. And we're looking at setting up an Emergency Management Pride Network. So, again, I'd be very interested in, you know, how we do that, what more we can do around ensuring that everyone feels included. You know, it doesn't matter what your background is. We want you as volunteers in the CFA, the SEF, Lifesaving, all those organisations, because the more we reflect the broader community, no matter what your background, the better off all our organisations will be. I said it in police and I'll keep saying it in this role.
That's excellent. Bjorn?
I guess, you know, from a CFA perspective, and particularly my brigade, we're very inclusive in regards to our membership. There is no restrictions or any of that sort of stuff. And I think, as far as Wandong goes, we're quite a progressive brigade as well. So one of the things I've really tried to do since I've been captain, and it was never a problem beforehand, but I've really tried to maintain it and build on it, is that level of inclusiveness. And we want everybody to come to our brigade and feel safe and feel valued and feel accepted.
Beautiful. Yep.
And that goes right through, even to the extent of, you know, it sounds quite minor, but children. Like, children in our brigade are welcome. There are a lot of brigades where they go, I can't have children here. But I've got three kids, Mike. It's like their second home. And so people... as part of, you know, accepting everybody and going, well, you've got children, they need to come. Yeah, if we want our members to feel accepted, everything comes along with them. And so, yeah, and that's a big mantra for our brigade, is that it's just everybody's treated as equals within our brigade.
That's excellent. I love it too. Everyone's feel safe and feel welcome, which is the main thing.
And I don't want to keep dwelling on Black Saturday, but we have had the 10-year anniversary. Mm. So 10 years after that terrible incident, how are the communities going?
I think for Wandong, so Wandong was the actual township was impacted. It probably it took out one of the train stations. There was a fair bit of damage to the school grounds. We lost, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, sort of within the township and the broader sort of area of the township, maybe 50 odd houses. So we weren't as impacted as your Flowerdales and your Kinglake West and Marysville. So yeah, definitely moved on really well. I think it's shown a real resilience within the community, and the amount of how people sort of held together and supported each other was really encouraging, particularly for a town like Wandong. It's what we call a dormitory suburb. And so we've got a lot of people that are still Melbourne-centric, work in Melbourne, friends are in Melbourne, kids go to school in Melbourne. But it was great to see that even relatively new sort of members of the community were all sort of part of that, you know, banded together, and we supported each other. So, the township in Wandong is moving along really, really well.
Awesome initiatives. Andrew, look, and Yoren, to me, you're all superheroes. You do fantastic work. You really should be proud of the work that you do.
Thank you, but I'll go back to Yoren and his CFA colleagues or SES or all the other volunteers that, you know, they're volunteers. You know, they've got day jobs, they've got families, and as you've heard, you know, they give up so much. And I actually made a mistake early on in this role when I went to a CFA Brigade Awards dinner, and I was talking to a group of CFA volunteers, and I said, oh, look, you're so well engaged with your community. And they said, we are the community. And so, yeah, I've not forgotten that.
That's excellent. Guys, thank you very much for joining us tonight. We'd love to have you back another night.
Try and stop us.
Yes.
No.
Gabby, you have a great week. We will see you back here next week. So up next, we've got whoever's on up next.
I'm not sure.
Not sure. Anyway, you've been
thanks for coming in, and everyone stay safe.
Great.
You've been listening to The Glow Show on Joy 94.9.
That's it from us today. Thanks for listening to another Glow Show on Joy. Tonight's episode has just been loaded to the Joy website and our podcast feed on iTunes. So if you missed anything important, you can hear it again now. Please support the volunteers who make the Glow Show happen by subscribing to our podcast and sharing them with your friends on social media. The Glow Show is produced by Will Lansing and Gabrielle Tyack and edited weekly by me, Jason Gibbs. See you next time on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.